each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. It's Ascension Day, the Feast of the Ascension. Jesus returns. This is this long anticipated a return to the Father in a definitive way.
Yes.
In a definitive way. But we'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to say I was just in this last half hour preparing for the radio again with all kinds of stuff here in front of me, but I was listening to the two cellos. Christina, you had this in your office yesterday, I guess.
Yes.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
So beautiful. It's you can download it on YouTube, but I love the cello anyway.
Me too.
And I happened to go into Christina's office yesterday after 3 hours in the dental, in the dentist office, you know.
In the torture chamber.
Gosh. I felt so bad, you know, because after the, after I was 3 hours on the chair, you know, they, you know, I got up and they gave me water, you know, to kind of water. Couldn't, you know, water's going all over the place.
Here's a little water.
Because your mouth is numb, you know.
You're numb, that's why.
So, but anyway, so I came back and was a little bit wiped out. And Christina was had this beautiful music, the cello, the two cellos. They call it the two cellos.
Yes.
It was so beautiful. So I listened to it last night as I was going to sleep. And
oh, nice.
Just now. Because I needed to kind of
wind down.
Kind of wind
down.
Well, relax a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It's stress. Been a crazy day too, but it's so beautiful. And I used to, it takes me back to Rome. So I used to every morning I would go to the Pantheon, to the piazza or the plaza piazza, rotonda, but the and I would have coffee and my little breakfast there, you know, and but just sit there for about an hour, not an hour, about 2 hours actually. Early, and they would have a cello, always a cello. So a guy was playing a cello in the in the plaza, the piazza, in the square. Oh. It's just beautiful. Absolutely. It's just really, I think, my favorite instrument. Yeah.
I love the cello and the saxophone.
Well, that's a, is that a good combination, I guess? Maybe?
That's I don't know, but I mean the instruments.
Sure.
Also.
I guess, I mean, together.
Like a band.
Yeah. The violin and the cello together just have some.
Oh yeah, sure. The violin and the cello.
So, but anyway, and I, you know, it really. I was thinking as I was just listening because I get tired of thinking and talking. Mm-hmm. I'm really at a point where I don't want to think. I don't want to talk. And I thought, boy, that would be. Wouldn't it be nice to have if I had been disciplined as a child and I took up an instrument like the cello or something, and just to, you know, to get. I mean, can you imagine having that as your vocation?
Yeah.
Who are the two guys? They're actually, I think one of them is from...
either Germany or...
Croatia.
Is it? Yeah, I didn't even read about...
Are they brothers? They're not brothers,
No, they're not brothers. They look, but they're not.
So the gentleman's name is Hausner, which seems German to me, I would think.
Yes, that sounds German. I don't know.
But I think he, or maybe it's the other one. One of them lives in Zagreb. I guess they both do. I don't know, but
okay.
But it's just beautiful.
Beautiful music.
Yeah. But I thought, what a nice vocation, you know, to be able to live for your cello, and to be able to bring that beauty into the lives of others. You don't have to think; you just have to. I mean, think. We're thinking people, but just to get, because you can see as they play, they're feeling everything that
they are.
They're
it's
playing.
Like they're in you know, like when the saints would go into
ecstasy. Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
You could see it. You could see it. And of course, there are masters, you know, after practicing so much, they don't need the music. And they play it. Yeah. They know it.
Just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So thank you for introducing me to
the
two cellos. Got to find these ways to...
something to help soothe the stress.
Yeah, we were talking about the stress the other day, but the de-stress.
Yes.
The de-stress. Life is so full of stress. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that was the other day we were talking about that, you know. So because we're in stress, we
need to de-stress. And you know how the beginning values say, I share with you the distress.
The distress, yeah. Yes. Well, see, that's, you know, the scriptures acknowledges that.
Sure.
And that's even before that was written way before the age of technology and when life seemed to be much simpler and innocent. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine that was stress back there too.
Because there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. So, I mean, it was, if it's not this, it's that, or it's one thing or another. But I still think, as we were speaking the other day, just the technology we have today just really has a way of, we've got to really detach.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In order to de-stress from that. But the demands, it's like fires burning all over the place. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we won't go back into that. I was looking at the, are you familiar with the Met Gala? Met Gala?
No.
The Met Ball costume? This is in New York, they had it the other day.
No.
I never heard of this before, but I guess it's an annual event. And I only caught it because the theme for the gala was heavenly bodies, fashion, and the Catholic imagination.
Yeah.
And so they had, it's cost a $30,000 ticket to go, but it really brings all, for $30,000, you can imagine all the people from Hollywood and from the arts, the culture of the arts, and politicians and these people. But it was interesting, to say the least, you know, because they dressed, you know who Rihanna is? Rihanna?
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna. She dressed as the Pope in a rather sleazy kind of a way.
Really?
Madonna was there. She performed, and she was dressed in, you know, she's conflicted. I mean, I was talking to my dentist, actually, yesterday about this. They brought it to my attention.
Oh, okay.
They said, what did you think about the, I didn't watch it, but... I don't know if you could have watched it, but I did see in one of the Catholic websites, I saw that there was something, and I saw some pictures of some of the, let's see, is it Rihanna, who I really don't even know who she is, Madonna, of course. Mm-hmm. There's a host, a lot of others, or many, many of them, and they come and they really try to outdo themselves in costumes and dress. But they used the theme of the Catholic Church, you know? Mm. And it was supposed to... show how Catholicism has influenced culture and society, but it seemed to be, in many cases, more of a mockery of the faith. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that was so. That's why the dentist and her assistant Irma brought it up to me, and they said, "What did you think?" And I said, I had seen the one picture of the Rihanna dressed as the Pope. And I said it. I thought it was a sacrilege.
Sure.
And they said, we did too. It was just kind of, the cardinal was there, Cardinal Dolan, you know.
Makes sense.
The Vatican had actually contributed about 41 outfits from the museum to be on display during this. So they gave their approval for this, but I don't know that they quite understood what the artists would do with
and
it.
And the artists themselves, they don't know they don't know.
Completely disconnected.
Sure.
I mean, it's a complete disconnect, but a lot of the outfits had images of the Madonna. Not Madonna, but the Madonna. The Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Saint Therese. I think one person had a bit of the Sistine Chapel dressed in something to that effect, which is, you know, that's certainly art.
That's art, yeah.
But I think that what was... in the case of Madonna, and she did her song Like a Prayer.
Sure. Yeah.
And Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The song Hallelujah.
Mm.
I think it's...
I don't know that one.
Yeah, anyway. But it's just so risque, you know. Yeah. It's a very blatant contradiction,
sure,
or paradox, or whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it. But she came down there with all these monks, or people dressed as monks, and then she came down dressed, and then of course she strips away the religious habit
or, yeah.
unique to monks, and went into her rendition of Like a Prayer, which is a nice song, you know. If I don't know the lyrics to the song mm-hmm. per se, but I don't recall that it was a bad song. It was, it's certainly got nice.
The only thing I remember from the video, I don't know if you remember, mm-hmm. Tony, that they have the crosses, the wooden crosses burning in the video. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing, and you know, you wonder why. You know what's interesting, really, in this kind of paradigm shift away from Christian culture
mm-hmm.
or Catholic culture, because there's what we call Catholic culture, you know, and but in the last 40 or 50 years, there's been a significant, really a rather radical shift away from a Catholic or Christian mm-hmm. culture, and even although this is being rectified now, but a lot of the churches that were built, or a lot of the beautiful churches, especially a lot of these beautiful churches in Chicago, there was that period of where we call it a mutilation
mm-hmm.
of the sacred beauty mm-hmm. of the churches for the purpose of modernizing or whatever, but it left many of these beautiful, beautiful churches rather like simple,
yeah.
like
and they call it the renovation.
Renovation of the churches.
They wrecked the churches.
But and we've certainly been part of this restoration.
Sure. Yes.
Restoration.
Yes.
And our church really, thank God, wasn't. Wrecked.
Wrecked. Yeah.
But it was certainly needed restoration, mm-hmm. and we've been for many years now in the restoration. It looks right. In fact, they're doing the pillars now.
Beautiful.
And the church is very beautiful. Very nice.
They're coming along. Beautiful.
Very nice. Yeah. But it's interesting that as a church was undergoing that, and this would be the time when priests weren't wearing the Roman collar and the religious sisters weren't wearing
their habits.
They went into secular clothes and all mm-hmm. that at that time, then you had these artists like Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, I remember, and I don't know the names of the bands, but some of the hard rock groups you might know,
mm-hmm.
Tony, maybe heavy metal or whatever.
But
they would perform. It was the church was discarding, not the church official, but
mm-hmm.
members in the church, religious communities, parishes, pastors, whatever, priests, and building these new churches. If they didn't,
Recovation
of the church. It was building churches that really didn't have any, just
they
aesthetically,
just
they weren't.
There was nothing there.
Nothing sacred, or the sacred images were such that you had to figure out what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember in the 70s and the 80s, you know, many, many churches going up. And, I would even say the cathedral, you know, you had to, okay, the tabernacle was this modern, still is, I guess. The image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you have to figure out what it is.
Abstract art. Yeah, I don't care.
Very cold and impersonal, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I feel the same way too.
But how often, you know, you went somewhere and they would have to explain to you what
mm-hmm.
this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a representation of Christ, or this is a representation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or these. But it didn't look anything like that. You had to kind of try to read into it.
Mm-hmm. Use your imagination. That's like, okay.
But thank God that's, I think that's changing quite rapidly.
And then these new modern buildings that they built, you know, the churches, you don't have that sense of the sacred. You go in there and it's like going to like a banquet hall, you know, just like a regular
building.
Yeah,
you wonder why that is. What provoked that abstract, modern, very, everything is very square, very unappealing in many ways, that kind of art. I don't know what was in the psyche of the time.
Yes.
But interestingly, as it was being discarded, these artists were picking up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna, we've talked about this before, sure. but my dentist was saying this, you know, must have this kind of love-hate relationship mm-hmm. with the church, because she certainly...
she was brought up, and her mom was a devout Catholic.
She was a very devout Catholic, yeah. and she died young, and so I think that probably had a very major impact on Madonna's...
Why did she lose her mom?
So was that her name from birth?
Who,
Madonna?
No, because even in Italy, they don't call her Madonna. They call her by her name.
Do they really?
Madonna is her stage name.
That's her stage name. So they don't call her Madonna over there. Because Madonna, you know, the Italians, that's the Blessed Mother.
That's the Blessed Virgin.
La Madonna. But they call, I don't even, what's her? What's
I forgot her,
her
real name.
I forgot
so
her
So when
real
she goes
name.
There, they don't
call her Madonna.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My brother, because he's over there right now, he says that the concerts that she's given over there, they promote the concert, but they do not call her Madonna.
Oh, that's interesting.
They
I didn't know that.
Call her by her name.
Wow. I wonder how she responds to that.
Well, what does she...
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
But see, why would people in the arts use religious iconography or sacred
or
symbols?
Or even like the name herself. Why did she call herself Madonna?
Because I think there's got to be this, yes. this is the dentist said, a love-hate relationship. There's a real conflict she's trying to reconcile with probably
I think that
her mother's
was
death.
Her mother's death, why did...
Because her mother was very devout.
Yeah.
Prayed the rosary.
And then she died
daily.
With the rosary in her hand, I
she
think.
She probably did.
I heard it somewhere.
I read that she was very devout, very devoted to the Blessed
so
Virgin Mary.
So I think she has a resentment towards...
And
I'm just
guessing. She named her daughter Lourdes.
Lourdes.
After the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. So.
I think there's a resentment there that why did, you know how some people, they get angry at God. Why did you take this? Why did you do this to me? Why did you take my mother away from me as a child?
Right. Yeah, so it's
I mean, I'm just guessing. I don't know.
No, we don't know, but we think there's got to be something.
What's her name?
Louise Veronica.
Veronica.
Ciccone.
Yeah.
Ciccone.
Yeah.
So they call her Veronica.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, the outfits were, to say the least.
And it's interesting. It's only with the Catholic or the Christian.
Right. This was.
They
some,
don't
yeah.
do that with no. any other religions.
See, that's the thing. I think when they do it, like I listen to music, and there's times when I think a lot is veiled. Like I think people are really trying to say something deep, but they just can't come out because then it would be too much. Of a religious thing. So that's why I try to be open-minded when it's that. But then there's things in lyrics, too, that are anti, and mm-hmm. I can't. But the fact that you would take, you know, the articles or the symbols mm-hmm. like that, I think that's a no. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm curious. I would I'd like to sit down with some of these people and ask them, you know, mm-hmm. why the need to, for instance, going back to Madonna, she appeared in Playboy
mm-hmm.
with rosaries,
mm-hmm.
lots of wearing a lot of rosaries.
You know, it just might be people that throw the influence. Oh, well, it'd be a good thing if you did this, and people that don't know their faith and don't live their faith, you know, that's sacrilege. I would never do that. And I think even some of the videos, like the Like a Prayer video, Christina, like you were saying. I love that song. Mm-hmm. I think that song, there's something going on there that has nothing to do with, modern. You know, there's sure. something very sacred being said. But even when you look at the video, it's almost like the reverse of that.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, there's this ongoing conflict mm-hmm. in everybody's lives to varying degrees, but between the flesh and the spirit, right? Yeah. And so it's perhaps in the arts, you see this. Dichotomy or this paradox is very blatant,
mm-hmm.
and it, certainly that was on display at the Met Gala, which mm-hmm. is a worthy cause. You know, it was for the arts, for the Met. I think it's a fundraiser for the benefit of the Metropolitan Museum of Arts, and so in that sense, you know, it was a. $30,000 a ticket, you can mm-hmm. imagine. So they're really pulling a lot of money because they have all these big stars there. But the But I just think they missed the point. And the other thing too is, you know, I happened to see a little bit, because I then was curious as to what was what this was all about, and what was it they were trying to convey or to communicate. Because actually, you know, Catholicism has made a very rich contribution to the arts, to culture, to the sciences.
Sure.
The church basically built the Western civilization, you know. Mm-hmm. So the positive influence on culture, decency.
Even built the like education and hospitals, all of that.
Universities, yes. The hospitals,
yeah.
Charitable work for the poor, for the orphans.
Yes.
But science, the sciences.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
I was just reading an article because then I was a little bit curious as to, you know, really, you kind of know, but the contributions. Because I think I told you once before that there was a debate in Great Britain in preparation for Pope Benedict's visitation to Great Britain, to England. And the debate was, is Catholicism good for society? And after, and of course they had, you know, four people who said yes and four people who said no, and they were debating this. And the audience voted at the end that indeed Catholicism is not good for society.
Wow.
Because often the criticism was, well, it's Catholicism sets us back. It's anti-science, anti-free thought. You know, but actually the church is the institution that basically developed the sciences, and you know, speaks very much in favor of right reason, and even its influence on government institutions is quite astounding as well. But even apart from that, just the arts, literature, you speak of Italy. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's everywhere.
Arts.
Unbelievable.
That's art.
Yeah. So anyway, we got to take a break and. Well, the Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts. Did we talk about that the other day? I don't remember.
You said a little bit about the
Boy Scouts.
Anyway, we'll look at that. I want to look at the Ascension.
So what are they now? Scouts?
They're Scouts, yeah.
Great.
They're Scouts. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation. One way or the other.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, the Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts. They are just Scouts, which means anybody with girls can join. And I guess they've caved. They've compromised. They've
why not?
Everyone fallen
else
prey
is doing
to
it.
The You know, and what's interesting is it, this article that I read yesterday, actually, that they lose 425,000 boys in 1 week after this announcement, because the Mormons, God bless them, God bless them, they said that, you know, they politely said that they would no longer be part of the Boy Scouts. They're part of the International Boy Scouts. I guess this is more of a national thing. Mm-hmm. In the United States, it is international. The program, I guess, I think it was founded certainly in the United States. But I know in Italy, they've got the Scouts as well.
They do?
Oh, the Scouts are everywhere. So, and they really do, because you see them in Rome. They're in pilgrimages, and they're, you know, with their backpack and all that. But anyway, but the Mormons, in a very, very prudent, as the Mormons are, you know, very diplomatic way, they just said, you know, we, without being critical, they just said, we, let's see, how does it say here? In this century of shared experience, the church has grown from a U.S.-centered institution to a worldwide organization, with a majority of its members living outside the United States. So they're speaking of themselves as being international. And that trend is accelerating. The church has increasingly felt the need to create and implement a uniform youth leadership and development program that serves its members globally. In so doing, it will be necessary for the church to discontinue its role as a chartered partner with the Boy Scouts of America. So these are the Boy Scouts of America. So they're actually going to internationalize their scouts, but this was their way of saying, you know, we're not going to
participate
in this change. Mm-hmm. What's the problem with Boy Scouts being the Boy Scouts? Girl Scouts. You still have the Girl Scouts.
You still have the Girl Scouts
that still exist, but the Boy Scouts have they've caved. You know, they're no longer Boy Scouts, but they're Scouts.
So they're going to do the same thing with so the boys are going to want to join the Girl Scouts?
Yeah, I'm curious, could the boys join the Girl Scouts? Because if that's the case, I want my sons to bring those Girl Scout cookies home because they're good.
Yeah, I don't think so. But the problem is, you know, this is part of the, I say, the sickness of our society.
Yeah, yes, it's just...
That, you know, for instance, here we have... altar boys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't have girls. I'm not opposed to girls, and I'm not. You know, I don't even want to talk about this because right. You know, it's so hard to even talk about these things. But I think it's. I was a Boy Scout. I was an altar boy. I was a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout. There's a need, especially in those formative years where you bind or you're bound. You bind with your, you know, there's just a whole formation, a whole education that's going on, which, you know, and speaking about the Boy Scouts and altar servers as well,
sure.
It is about, should be about civility. And we talked about this once before. The motto and, you know, the virtues that they try to inculcate, teach. And my gosh, you'd think that today more than ever, we'd want boys to be together, to bond, to learn from each other, to be mentored into manhood, to be to know and to learn to be responsible and
to be real, what it is to be real men
and God fearing as well.
Yes, you God, know, and not the machista stuff, but you know, a
right.
real man.
Exactly. Yeah. You know. So, but you know, that's
said one time. I would look at this and I would say, "Oh well, why not? Why not have girls and boys be together? It's a good thing." But it's like with anything in life. If you don't pay attention to it, it's gone. It looks like it just doesn't seem right, I'm not. Oh, you know, guys are better than girls. Little boys, it's almost like it's not natural in a sense.
No, it's not. Look how we're created physically.
Right.
There's an
and there is a girls. There's a Girl Scouts and a Boy Scouts. It should be the way it is. Little girls sometimes don't want to be around little boys.
And
little boys
either.
Don't want to be around little girls.
Well, they help each other to. Right. There's a formation that happens.
There's a time for that, and I'm not saying that one is bad for the other, but I mean little boys get together. It's almost like a men's group sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes men, and I'm learning this more so than I ever now in life. Sometimes men want to get together and just be men.
Sure.
And, you know, there's nothing against the woman because the woman has a part.
The women, they get together and just, You know, the same with the men.
Were we to say, hey, no, you should include us and we should include you.
Oh,
hey,
being...
hello, I don't know if anyone knows. There's some differences there.
Yeah, who knows?
So, it's just crazy.
You just wonder what kind
things
of...
like this just make me think. It's like, you know.
Yeah, we're just...
There's a need for certain distinctions. Complement, you know, the man, woman, they complement each other. I still believe they're different.
And I wonder, too, when you say mm-hmm. that, I wonder mm-hmm. what that experience will be for little boys and little girls together. I think at that point, sometimes things can be learned like, okay, I don't like this group and I don't like this group because of that experience. I think there's a time and place for a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
It's like,
I don't know.
These people. I
think
no
today it's as if you kind of feel like you're, well, you know, our voices have been...
being bullied.
Well, there's a bullying that's going on. There's no doubt about it. And you're just kind of pushed to the fringe of society because you're not, adapting mm-hmm. to the times
the
in which
times.
We live. You know, we're not...
look at these old people. Boy.
Evolving. Huh?
Look, I mean, I just think, look, somebody could listen to this. Look at those old people. They don't know what's
they
going
know.
On.
No, I just think that there's a need for these distinctions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's healthy for the society. I think there's a beautiful thing about distinct cultures. I think an appreciation for different peoples. I mean, when we talk about diversity, what do they say? It's not that we try to make everybody alike. We're all mm-hmm. Very similar. We're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But there are distinctions, and those distinctions are there for a reason. I think it's to properly order a society, to propagate life. It's, what more can you say, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like, for example, I always think a man cannot get pregnant. And I know that there's people
that'll
have gone through...
That'll change soon.
No, what people have gone through sex change, but still,
right.
you... Physically, you can't. You just, men cannot. Even though you go through some physical changes, that's never going
to
happen.
Well, I think that there's a need to appreciate, you know, people's, their struggles or their
yeah,
whatever.
We all have
I think
our
we
issues,
have to,
yeah.
and I certainly think that we as Christians, we without blurring distinctions,
mm-hmm.
we try to understand, at least, the whole science of psychology is to try to understand why people are the way they are, why they do what they do, what are the backstories, what is the history. You know, life is a beautiful thing, but it's also mm-hmm. a wounding experience mm-hmm. for most everybody at some point or another, to varying degrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we you know, again, we always have to look to this high standard. And we look to God who has ordered, I mean, he's the creator. He created these distinctions, male, female,
mm-hmm.
Let's just go to this
sure.
reading. This is from today, from the Office of Readings for the Ascension. And it's also part of the reading is read at the Mass today in the church. If the church is celebrating the Ascension, because you have an option, either celebrate today or you can celebrate on Sunday, but today is actually the day, the feast of the Ascension. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he says, I plead with you, as a prisoner of the Lord, for the Lord, to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, with perfect humility, with meekness, with patience, bear with one another in a loving way, and make every effort to preserve the unity which has a spirit as its origin and peace as its binding force. There is but one body, one spirit, just as there is but one hope given all of you by your call. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and works through all and is in all. Each of us has received God's favor in the measure in which Christ bestows it. Thus you find in Scripture saying, when he ascended on high, he took a host of captives and gave gifts to men. He ascended What is it? I'm kind of all over the place here. He ascended. What does this mean? But that he had first descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the very one who ascended high above heaven, the heavens, that he might fill men with his gifts. So he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in roles of service for the faithful to build up the body of Christ till we come one in faith and in the knowledge of God's Son and form that perfect man who is Christ come to full stature. So St. Paul says, goes on, he says, let us then be children no longer, tossed here and there, carried about by every wind of doctrine that originates in human trickery and skill in proposing error. And see, this is, I think, what's happening in the society today. It's always been, again, to varying degrees, but in a very powerful, intense way. We're seeing the breakdown of, time-tried and tested institutions, which are sacred, like the family, like marriage, the distinction between male and female. Rather, let us profess the truth in love and grow to the full maturity of Christ ahead. Through him, the whole body grows, and with the proper functioning of the members joined firmly together by each supporting ligament, builds up itself in love. So I declare solemnly and I attest in the Lord that you must no longer live as the pagans do, their minds empty, their understanding darkened. They are estranged from a life in God because of their ignorance and their resistance. Without remorse, they have abandoned themselves to lust and the indulgence of every sort of lewd conduct.
Wow.
I read that right after I was reading or saw the images from the Met Gala.
Wow.
You know, and I thought it says something, you know.
Yes.
So St. Paul goes on to say, this is not what you learned when you learned Christ. I'm supposing, of course, that he has been preached and taught to you in accord with the truth that is in Jesus, namely, that you must lay aside your former way of life and the old self, which deteriorates through illusion and desire, and acquire a fresh spiritual way of thinking. You must put on the new man created in God's image, whose justice and holiness are born in truth, which would mean a humble adherence to the proper ordering of life in the world. But as I say, you know, I think there's a conflict, a battle within all of us between, you know, the flesh and the spirit. There's this light and darkness that is kind of woven into our lives, but it's where are we going to lean? Do we lean into the dark or do we lean into the light? You know, we always look to the high standard. We have to humbly live in obedience to God. Conflicted as we are, sinful people as we are, affected by the world as we are. You know, Jesus, when he came, so he was with us. You think about it, before the incarnation, before Christ was conceived in the womb of his mother by the grace and the power of the Spirit, there was this nearly 2,000-year written preparation for the incarnation, or what we would call the Messianic Age. Jesus came to usher in that Messianic Age. He was the Messiah. So he was visibly, God was visibly with us for 33 years in the weakness of flesh, right? In the weakness of flesh. I say weakness because he was fully human, fully divine. But his humanity naturally imposed certain limitations on his divinity while he was in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And so he lived with a longing for that return to the Father. So for 33 years, he had to be undergo his own formation, you know, entrusted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to Saint Joseph. He was an infant. He had to be cared for, taught. You know, so there's something about the weakness of the flesh. He suffered sickness. He had anxiety, you know, as he would attest to himself. He had fear. His heart was troubled. He was sad. He wept. So, you know, he experienced a weakness of the flesh in that regard, right? But in that 33 years, he's being formed, prepared for his mission, which would last 3 years. whereby he gave us, as I say so often, the blueprint on how to live, you know, in an ordered way, serving others. Weak and sinful as we are, we fall. You know, God is a merciful God. He'll pick us up. We're in conflict. And then he, again, in the weakness of the flesh, he suffered the crucifixion. And he who did not sin was made sin because he took all sin to himself on the cross. He sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done. And he goes to Peter, James, and John. He needed the support of the disciples, the apostles, these three in a most particular way. But they slept. And he said, here's the conflict. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he enters into that suffering death, and he rises from the dead, and then he appears for 40 days, again in the flesh, but no longer in the weakness of the flesh, but in the glorified flesh. And this was, and as the scripture says, he continues to preach and to teach about the kingdom of God before he then returns in a definitive way to the Father, and he and the Father send the Spirit to empower the disciples that they would then carry on the mission. But it's Jesus living in and through his disciples. So he ushers in the messianic age. We're in that messianic age, and we'll be in that messianic age until he comes at the end of time. But he doesn't come to us in the same way he came, you know, to the disciples during those 40 days, or even as they witnessed him in the 3 years leading to his the Paschal mystery, suffering, death, and resurrection. So 33 years in the weakness of flesh, 40 days in the glory of the flesh, as a way of instilling into the mind and the heart of the disciples the best is yet to come, that all things end well for those who love God. Because in this world, in this life, we live life in the weakness of flesh. That's why there's this conflict between our wanting to give ourselves over to the flesh or to the Spirit, and the two conflict, right? So that's this constant struggle. We have to humbly accept the fact that this is a reality, and keep our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord, and keep our hearts and our souls, our spirit open to the indwelling Spirit of God, so that we can overcome ourselves. And also in doing so, we then don't contribute to what brings divisiveness, decay, deterioration, death to the society or to the civilization, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because this is a work that we all have to partake in this work in order to safeguard the proper ordering of things in the world, not only for salvation and sanctification, but also for the salvation of the society, mm-hmm. for the civilization, for the future.
Yeah.
You know, so we know, historically, we know that when people walk away from God, or they walk away from, you know, these Judeo-Christian principles, that the result is, the consequences are really dire, mm-hmm. Which would lead to the extermination of millions and millions of people, as we saw in the Soviet Union and Nazism and in China, under systemic atheism, to abandon God. Does that make sense? So we got to take a break. We'll just take the break. We'll come back and kind of pick up where we leave off. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it.
St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I guess what point am I trying to make is that we've been given the gift of faith, or the love of God has been manifested. And as I mentioned the other day, that love is not a permissive love. It is a love that is very demanding. It is a love that is binding, because in doing that, it's a love that brings us into genuine freedom, not the free reign of the flesh that, as Scripture says, will lust against the Spirit, but it's responsible. It's not permissive. It's a love lived, it's sacrificial, mm-hmm. sacrificial, that I've got to look beyond myself. It's a love that is lived in gratitude mm-hmm. for what God has done for us, because He's, and this is the, these 33, the 40 days in the glorified flesh, where He instills into the disciples that this is the good end toward which we labor. You know, we're all in this together. We're on the way, in the journey. And if we're going to properly serve each other, we have to serve each other in righteousness, in the sense that we help each other to stay on that path, that narrow path. And there's a beauty in that. Because again, if we talk about the church and building this civilization, the culture, or going back to the theme of the Met Gala, how Catholicism has influenced culture and society. I said briefly about the sciences, about hospitals, about universities, but the arts, the music, you know, that we've, you know, this is, gosh, God gives, we talked about, start out with the two cellos. I mean, God has given us this wonderful ability to acquire or to develop certain gifts, certain talents mm-hmm. that really in a very beautiful, in a very healthy way, can do great service to a people who are in the pain of labor, you know, laboring through life, suffering through life. Music has a way of soothing a troubled heart, bringing a certain demise to the anxiety. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about the other day, the need for Sabbath, for rest, a proper rest. So there can be fiesta. It's not a, you know, that movie Babette's Feast, which is was Pope John Paul II's favorite, but it was this a Catholic, French Catholic mm-hmm. woman, a chef, who ended up in a little town, a little barren, cold town in Holland, I think it was, among Puritans or very strict Protestants who who couldn't allow themselves any pleasure because they thought pleasure was a sin. Mm-hmm. And so their food was bland, and they dressed in a very bland way. And like myself, I wear just black all the time. But that's unique to my vocation, I think. You know, and when you talk about religious, because it's a certain asceticism to be reminded that we throw ourselves into God's freedom, God's love, and in order to try and be open to the inner working of the Spirit, so that we can bring that good news into the lives of others. But still, even so, to be able to enjoy in healthy enjoyment, you know. But so this woman went into the town. They didn't know who she was. She had been married to she was a great chef in France.
Yes.
And I don't remember the whole story, but she had won a lottery in France, and so she worked in this with these people. They took her in as the cook and the maid, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she had to feed them the bland food, and you know, everything was dark and dreary, mm-hmm. and you know, without any
taste,
joy, any mm-hmm. any pleasure.
Sure.
And when she finds out she wins this lottery, what did she do with it? But she decided she was going to throw a feast for this for the whole little town, the little town. And it was the movie is just very beautiful, because they gather. She goes and she buys all this, you know, the
silverware and the
everything. She used the lottery to bring everything, mm-hmm. just to really bring light and joy and the beauty of taste and the beauty everything into this this town. Mm-hmm. And so the people, they were just for the first time there. Struggling to allow themselves
yes,
to experience the joy of great cuisine,
mm-hmm.
the taste, the pleasure of the beauty, the to savor the wine, mm-hmm. you know, it was just a beautiful, and they become very happy naturally. They drink
even the music,
everything,
everything. And how she did. The lottery, she didn't even use it on herself. It was for everyone, everybody.
It was her sacrificial love to bring some joy
mm-hmm.
into the lives of these people. And so I think maybe part of the thing is, I don't know, are we, you know, are we not conveying this to the society, to the culture? Because the church is very photogenic
mm-hmm.
in this regard, you know, because the church has fiesta, we have feasts, we have... You know, the Catholic Church is very photogenic. That's why I think perhaps they chose that as a theme, how Catholicism has influenced culture and society, because mm-hmm. you can really do a lot with that, you know, in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
But any culture, you know, you go to Mexico, you go to Europe, you go to Italy, to France, you know, by tradition, a Catholic culture was full of festivities, mm-hmm. festivals, and the feast days. It was observing in a proper way, in a healthy way, in a holy way, but in a very joyful way, the Sabbath rest. So it wasn't just Sabbath rest on a Sunday, but the church brought in, you know, a Sabbath rest on the great feast days, the feast of the saints, or the feasts, great days in the feast in the life of Jesus. I mean, the whole you just take Lent and Easter as an example. Lent is a very penitential season, so by tradition, we should be in a very penitential spirit, because we're trying to clean house in order to put aside what is disordered passions, or what is disorder, what is unclean in our lives, in order to be restored to a right relationship with God, and to understand more properly how to be Christians to serve others in the love of God. But it all culminates in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We're still in that season, in the season of Easter, and it ends with great festivity, great beauty, great music. You know, the blessing of the baskets. You know, the Easter meal to break out the meat and the pastries, and you know what I'm saying. It's
sure.
So this is part of Catholic culture, but what's happened in the culture when the bottom line is, it goes back to Genesis, I will not serve. Mm-hmm. I don't want to serve. I don't want to be bound And therefore, I'm not going to be really free because I'm going to end up a slave to myself, a slave to my vices. And on the surface, it all might look very, very nice. And yeah. certainly with, you know, at the Met Gala, you know, you know the backstory to a lot of these people who are, you know, donned in the richest clothes and fashions. And, you know, it's a spectacular, wonderful, fantastic kind of a celebration. But beneath it all, what is there? You know, we know, sad to say, I mean, this is a reality, the addiction to drug, addiction to alcohol, inability to maintain a marriage, the breakdown of the family, it's just there. It's there. It's part of the their culture, right? Their culture. And so, but all the while, there's a mockery of Christianity in a very pointed way, Catholicism, because of ignorance, is it? Maybe becoming that because it's been taught already for several decades. But I think the bottom line is, if we're going to really be honest, is, again, it goes back to Genesis, I will not serve. I'm not going to be bound to these commandments, to these laws. I'm not going to submit or humble myself before God because I'm going to do it my way. And, you know, either it's self-adulation, self-idolatry, or you know, that we, you know, power, fame, money, riches, all this. But we see every day, don't we, how this just comes, how it crumbles, it just comes down. Yeah. And then what are you left with? You know, well, the hope is you hit rock bottom and then, you know, you have the humility to say, I'm going to now reach my hand into the hand of God. And we see people like this all the time. I meet people like this all the time who have hit rock bottom. Something has happened in their lives and they finally, you know, in their humility, decide that, you know what, there is a higher power that can bring me out of this darkness into the light, bring me away from this death that I'm experiencing back into life. And so it is. It's interesting, we'll maybe come back to this tomorrow, but the beginning of the church was just characterized by these fantastic wonders and signs, and there was mass conversions, but that was short-lived, because we read already in Scripture, as St. Paul, as I just read from the letter to the Ephesians, you know, don't be tossed about. What does it say? So this is the primitive church. This is even before the Gospels were written. Don't be tossed here and there, carried about by every wind of doctrine that originates in human trickery and skill in proposing error. You know, you've got to mature in Christ. In Christ, your head. You know, live in true love, which is sacrificial. And it is demanding, but it's so liberating, and it brings deep peace, and it doesn't negate the joy of life, festive gatherings, beautiful things. It's the church, beauty, goodness, truth. Anyway, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now.